This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought.
We will have a dedicated prayer session with the Let's Pray team.
And The Incredible Journey shares an important history lesson.
Stay with us. Good morning, friends, and good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
It's good to see you today. Thank you for waking up with us. We're so excited to be here waking up with you.
On this bright and sunny morning, we want to bless you today through our program. We hope your heart will be filled with joy and peace and the goodness of God.
Amen. You know, Hannah, I just want to let everyone know something. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, Christian. Is there any particular reason why you want to share this with everyone today?
I'm glad you asked. Just because.
Just because.
Just because. You know why, friends? Just because it's National Just Because Day. That's right. Today is National Just Because Day. And today, we just want to take time to just because, say I appreciate you.
Well, you know what? Maybe I will call up someone I haven't talked to in a while, just because.
That's right. Perfect. You know, you get the idea. Today is National Just Because Day, so do something that you wanted to do for a while without worrying about the why. Just do it. Just because.
Just because.
And just because Jesus loved me enough to die for me, I want to share him with you today. You know, Jesus went all the way, not only just because, but because he is the ultimate redeemer. And today we're going to be blessed with everything we have in store for you. So let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1955, the first edition of the Guinness Book of Records was published in Great Britain, and quickly it became a hit. Now known as the Guinness World Records, the annual publication showcases a wide range of human and animal feats. The idea for the record book originated in November 1951 when Sir Hugh Beaver, managing director of the Guinness Brewery, was on a hunting trip in Ireland. After failing to shoot a golden plover, Beaver and his hunting party debated whether it was Europe's fastest game bird, but couldn't find a book for the answer.
Wow. You know, the inception of the Guinness World Records began with the quest for answers, just as we are constantly seeking answers and direction in our lives. In a similar way, our faith journey often begins with questions and a search for truth. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God promises, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You know, our pursuit of God and his wisdom can lead to some profound discoveries and growth. When we seek God earnestly, he promises to reveal himself to us, guiding us and providing the answers we need. You know, seek him earnestly, friends, and faithfully, and you will be sure to find the answers you're longing for. So friends, our word of encouragement today is don't give up.
Amen. That is such a good reminder. The great General Douglas MacArthur once said these famous words, "I will return." How did his words make an incredible impact? Let's find out on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Some of the most memorable words in history were spoken here at this isolated railway station in the small town of Tarawi, located about 200 kilometres north of Adelaide in South Australia. Here's what happened. In March 1942, General Douglas MacArthur was forced to flee the Philippines in the face of an aggressive Japanese invasion. MacArthur had been appointed as Field Marshal of the Philippines by the United States government, and he had been tasked with protecting the Philippines from Japanese invasion. But unable to fend off the Japanese, MacArthur, his family, and small team of close associates fled to Australia on the US B-17 airplanes. He landed in Darwin and then made his way to South Australia by train. Disembarking from the train, he stood right here on this platform and addressed a small group of people waiting to welcome him. He vowed that he would return to the Philippines with these famous words, "I came out of Bataan and I shall return." MacArthur vowed that though he had been forced to leave the Philippines, he would return and liberate the country from the Japanese. True to his word, in 1944, MacArthur landed in the Philippines and worked to liberate the country from the Japanese. In September 1945, he accepted a formal surrender from the Japanese on board the USS Missouri. MacArthur was able to keep his promise. 2,000 years before MacArthur, Jesus made a similar promise just before returning to heaven. He promised his disciples that he would come again, that he would return. This is what he said, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is one of the most encouraging, hope-filled promises ever made. It's filled Christ's followers with optimism because they know that something good, something wonderful is going to happen. It allows us to be hopeful and confident about the future. Jesus is coming back to get us and fix our broken world. It's the best news ever. Here are five important things you need to know about the second coming of Jesus. One, it'll be a glorious event. Here's what the Bible says. "For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory." And here it is again. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory." So there's point number one. The second coming of Christ is going to be a glorious event. Point two, when Jesus comes, all the holy angels will come with Him. Here's what the Bible says. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him." Now, point number three. The second coming of Jesus is going to be a visible event. Everyone will see Jesus come. Here's what the Bible says. "He's coming with clouds and every eye will see Him." And point number four. It's going to be audible. We're all going to hear Jesus come. The Bible says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God." And finally, point number five. It's going to be the same Jesus that comes back. The Bible makes it very clear that when Jesus returns at His second coming, He will be the very same Jesus who walked the dusty pathways of Israel, healing the sick and befriending the lonely. Here's what the angels told Jesus' disciples. "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." So there are five important points about the second coming of Jesus. One, it's going to be a glorious event. Two, all the holy angels are going to come with Jesus. Three, it's going to be a visible event. Every eye will see Jesus come. Point four, it's going to be an audible event. Every ear will hear Jesus coming. Point number five, it's going to be the same Jesus who was here 2,000 years ago that's coming back. Of all the events of history, the second coming of Jesus will be the most significant. It's an event that you will not want to miss. Why not make a commitment to prepare yourself for Jesus coming today?
Right after this short break, we will be welcoming the Let's Pray team.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
And search for us on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel to keep up with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope. We long for you to experience the love of Jesus during our program.
To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Those are the words of the Protestant reformer Martin Luther. And we think he was onto something. That's why we're joining the Let's Pray team today in a special prayer session.
Hi, family. It is that time again to get together and pray. I'm really appreciative of these times because I know that there is power when we come together in the name of Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about, praying about, really, strength to get over addictions. There's a verse in Jeremiah that says in chapter 17, verse 14, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." This is such a beautiful scripture. It speaks faith and hope, and that's exactly what I want to pray for us today. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to pray over this community, Lord. And I include myself in this prayer as you know, Jesus, 16 years sober, Heavenly Father, but that does not mean that I have not needed your strength to get over things that I habitually do or habitually find strength from that don't come from you, Lord. I consider all of these things to be addictions, Lord. When we're searching for anything that is not you for our rest, our peace, our strength, our hope, and our relief, because that's what so many of us are looking for, Jesus, it's relief. So Lord, I pray that folks would not only have the strength because of you to get over their addictions, Heavenly Father, but Lord, that you would indeed help them to focus so intently upon you, Lord, that those things fall away. Because Jesus, if you heal us, Lord, we'll be healed. When you save us, Jesus, we are saved. For you are the one, Lord. You're the one. You're the one we need. You are the place to go. You are the safe place to be vulnerable. You are that place, Jesus, that isn't going to overwhelm us or force yourself on us, Heavenly Father. These things are so important that you are always, always helping us to walk in freedom. And I pray in the name of Jesus that freedom, Jesus, would begin to consume the lives of those who are seeking it. Jesus, that you would break the chains of addiction over those who are struggling against them. And Father, that you would not only help them to move away from those things and towards you, Jesus, but that you would actually dry up their sources. Jesus, if it's gossip that we're addicted to, if it's worshiping our own emotions and making them more important than the truth of your word, if it is, Heavenly Father, drugs or narcotics or shopping or gambling, whatever it is, Heavenly Father, we not only seek to be free and to be walking in fullness with you, Jesus, but Lord, we're looking for your relief, for your refreshment. So will you teach us how to find those things in you and not in destructive patterns? I thank you that you're not wagging your finger at us. You love us right where we are in our mess, but you do call us higher. You do have more for us. You are our advocate. You're not spying on us, judging us, Jesus. You see all things and you still love us. And I'm so grateful, Jesus. I'm grateful, Father, that you are moving on behalf of this community and those that we love. I thank you, Jesus, that you're moving in my family and the families that are represented here. We praise you, Jesus, for being the answer to all of our needs, our struggles, and our hopes. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I pray that it's a blessing for you. I pray that the Lord would continue to give you hope and perseverance. If you yourself are dealing with addictions or if those you love, remember, he's able to reach them. Even if it's not always through us personally, he's able to surround our loved ones and our family members and us with the help that we need. My prayer is that we would be looking for it. And he loves to be found by us, family. So be encouraged today, and I look forward to the next time we get to pray together.
Amen. Well, friends, coming up next, Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are happy you stayed with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series on David's life after God's heart. We have entitled it. And today we start a new season in David's life. he will become king after all that has happened to him. And he will do great things as a king. Sometimes when we see people achieve great things, we wonder what happened before this, right? There is a lady that I admire very much. Her name is Candace Leitner. She started an organization that's called MADD, MAD, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But she started it after a terrible time of grief when her daughter was killed by a drunk driver that was a repeat offender. And sometimes you wonder, how do you go on and what can you achieve after a time of great distress and great grief? Well, today we are going to study that, David's own passionate journey with God, even after he went through all the suffering and the caves and the wilderness experiences. And so we're going to start today on 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel, the beginning, we have Saul that has died and his son Jonathan too. And David is made king over the southern part of Israel, over Judah, on chapter 2, 2 Samuel chapter 2. But on chapter 5, he's made king over the whole thing, the north and the south. And chapter 5, I'm going to read 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all of Israel and Judah, altogether 40 years. After all that hard time that he went through, the persecution, the oppression, the time in the enemy camp, the fire of Ziklag, all that we have studied. So now David is king over the whole promised land. Judah in the south, Israel in the north. He's a king over the whole area. But what is interesting about Jerusalem that I just mentioned is that it wasn't part of the geography that they owned at the time. And he decides that he's going to take over this town. Now, this town is where the Jebusites live. Verse 6. The king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, the people of the land said to David, "You shall not come in here. You shall not come in here. The blind and the lame will turn you away," saying it's going to be so simple to turn you away, thinking David cannot enter here. Why would they have such arrogance? Well, this town of the Jebusites that David wants to conquer as his own royal city to dwell in there, was in a fortress. It was a stronghold. It was a fortress, but it was in a geographical fortress, a big canyon that led up to the city. And the city was fortified about 12 acres around it. But, you know, I want to show you a little video, perhaps a photo of what this was a small town. Now we know this whole area as the section that is next to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, because the city of David is in the southeastern part of Jerusalem, southeast of the Temple Mount. And David really wanted that fortified city to be his own city. Now there's still excavations there of this old city of David. But the Jebusites were so sure because of the geography, the way it was, that David could never enter there. "You will not enter here," they said on verse 6. But then you go to the next verse and it starts with a word that I love. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. And we're told in verse 9, David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Millo and inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. I have to give credit where credit is due. The first time I came into contact with this notion of nevertheless in this time of David's life was in a book of Max Lucado. The book is called Facing Your Giants, and I highly recommend it. And he has a whole section on the nevertheless. He says, he calls it the 12-letter masterpiece, nevertheless. It's when your life seems like it's going one way and they're never going to make it. Nevertheless, God enters the scene and he changes. David had a whole nevertheless biography. You know, he was a shepherd. Nevertheless, Samuel went and anointed king, even though nobody else thought he could be king. He was a boy, and nevertheless, he fought Goliath, the great soldier, the giant. He was being persecuted by Saul. Nevertheless, God brought him through that time. His town of Ziklag was completely burned. Nevertheless, God said, go and get your families back. I mean, he has lived a nevertheless biography. And hard times sometimes prepare us for what's coming. Sometimes hard times, God allows hard times because they grow us in our character. Sometimes God allows hard times because we will become instruments in the area of our grief and pain, like Candy Leitner did, starting an incredible organization that changed policies and laws of drunk driving because she lost her daughter. So the nevertheless biographies are very important. And David had a nevertheless biography. And here they say, you will never conquer the city. Nevertheless, David conquered it. And then, of course, after that, it expanded. And then we had the temple. This is the whole land of Moriah. And eventually, if you go to Jerusalem right now, you can go visit the old city of David, the nevertheless city. If you continue reading in chapter 6, David decides to bring the Ark of the Lord there so that God's presence can be seen there, visualized, and he's having this exuberant worship as the Ark of the Lord comes into Jerusalem. Well, after hard times, God has a purpose for you, and that purpose will fulfill you even after great grief and suffering. You know, I think that the whole story of redemption of the whole humankind is a nevertheless story. You know, we are in this world of sin and death and pain. Nevertheless, Christ came, died for us so that we would have a better future. There's a beautiful verse at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, where another Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that God is preparing for us, is described, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Yes, there's a nevertheless. Because of the cross, we have a nevertheless. See, the whole humankind sinned, and we would be doomed for eternity. Except that Jesus came and died for us to give us a nevertheless. We will be with him in heaven because of what he did. So I hope that today you're encouraged. If you're going through a suffering moment, a suffering season, a great distress, God wants to make a nevertheless biography out of you. So trust him. You will be fulfilled.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That was such a blessing.
Amen. And friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And tomorrow morning, don't forget to wake up with us again. We will have a musical performance by Gisela Kroll, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, a recipe from our Live It friends, and an artistic journey through the biblical lesson of the mote and the beam. Be sure to join us tomorrow.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about what the Bible teaches, visit hope.study to receive your very own free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for free Bible study guides. Check out the website, share with your friends. We are sure you will be blessed.
Amen. Well, we have to go for today. It's been fun, Hannah. Thank you for being here today.
You.
And before we go, though, we want to leave you with the Bible promise. And this Bible promise is found in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8.
In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Hmm. Is something keeping you up at night? Anxiety, maybe, stress, the burdens of life. We all feel it sometimes.
Yes.
God has promised to give you restful sleep. Lay all your burdens at his feet and leave them there as you trust him to keep his promise to provide for your every need.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have enjoyed our time with you this morning, and we hope that you're going to keep all these reminders of God's love with you throughout the day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Truly, our hearts are full right now, full of the promise, full of love, full of hope. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide our steps today, whether we're waking up to a new day or just about done with the day. I pray that you would just remind us of your constant presence. You're so good to us, Lord, and we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.